Jonathan Edwards is one of the greatest theologians in American history, and his wife, Sarah Edwards, wrote of a time of intense spiritual joy and faith and love that lasted for more than a week, beginning on January 20th, 1742, as she was meditating on Romans 8, verse 34. And over and over and over again, she wrote of her intense love, both for God and for his children, for men and women who are Christians. And here's just one sample. When I arose on the morning of the Sabbath, I felt a love to all mankind, wholly peculiar in its strength and sweetness, far above all that I had ever felt before. The power of that love seemed to be inexpressible. Now, I hope at the end of our time this morning here that this will strengthen our love for one another. Now turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you, have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you are called, that you may obtain a blessing. Last week in this list of characteristics, we focused on the first one and the last one, and the second last one, on like-mindedness and humble-minded, sympathetic and tender-hearted. And this week we are going to focus on the center one of this chiasm, the central and most important characteristic in Peter's list here, and that is brotherly love. This is the law of love. This is the law of Christ. So with God's help, this is where we're headed this morning. We're going to look at the labor of love, the law of love, and the source of brotherly love. Now, as I preach through 1 Peter, this sermon and last week's sermon are both timely for us as a church family. They weren't planned that way, but they are very timely in focusing on our unity. And our humility, and our brotherly love. And I want you to know that I am preaching this sermon as much to myself and to my family as I am to us as a church body. Let's pray. Father, as we come to your word this morning, Father, we pray and we ask you that we understand that this is your word, and it's not our word. Father, I pray that you will work, that what is being said here would be yours, that we would, whatever needs to be said would be said. Father, that you would protect us from thoughts that would get in the way. So Father, we pray now that as we come to your word, that you would come in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, brotherly love in our text is not so much a love that you give like you would give to other loves, give to other people. Brotherly love is a love that you give because you are brothers. You are truly brothers and sisters, mothers and fathers. This is who you truly are as Christians. And so what kinds of things do you love? Do you love food? Do you love reading? What kinds of things do you love? You need to love your brothers and your sisters, your parents, your mothers, those who are united with you in Christ. Your brothers and your sisters, people here in the room, you are united in Christ with the Father, with the Son. So take an interest in one another, humbly serve one another, understand each other. Now, there's no way this morning that we can understand the depths of brotherly love. It is throughout the scriptures, but we're going to cover a few principles here. As you know, love is not just a fuzzy feeling in your heart. Like the feeling that you felt when you first met your future bride, or when you were proposing to her, or when you were telling her that you loved her, in front of everyone on your wedding day. But brotherly love is an act of love. It means that if you see your brother in need, you help him, you initiate, you go out to him. A woman who has brotherly love doesn't wait until her husband does something nice to her, loves her first. She doesn't wait until the woman on the other side of the church does something nice to her before she loves that other woman. Love is also done from the heart with the right motives. Think of your car. You drove your car here this morning. You pressed the gas and it went forwards. You turned and it turned. You pressed the brakes and I hope that it stopped. But your car did everything you asked it to do. But did it do that out of love? No, your car didn't do that because it loved you. Your love needs to be genuine with a brotherly affection. Not forced or mechanical like your car. Are you meeting people's needs through the right motivation of love? We read 1 Corinthians 13 this morning, and you can give all that you have to the poor. You can have all wisdom and all knowledge. You can have all understanding. You can have perfect doctrine. You can die a martyr in the flames. You do all these things, and if you don't have love, you are nothing, you gain nothing, you're only a clanging cymbal. Now, brotherly love also means that you focus on others. You serve others, you're building others up. And this is opposite to the world's wisdom of self-help, seize control, value myself. Of the top five nonfiction books that are being sold this year, four of them are self-help books. Self-centeredness is everywhere. I went to a diner this past week, and every single menu item was self-help. It was, or self-centeredness. It was, I am altruistic. I am valuable. One of us ordered, I am angelic. And it wasn't even one of the boys who ordered that one. But brotherly love is self-denying. When you become a Christian, you become a new creation. The old self-centered man has died. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Now, brotherly love is not something that you show just to people that you like or people who are like you. It says, everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him, even those who are difficult. Lawson said, some people are like porcupines. They are prickly and they're hard to hug. They've got some good points, but that's the problem. So let's use this, though, to examine yourself and to gain assurance. Because 1 John says, we know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, how does the world know that we are Christians? Is it because we've got a patch over the left eye or we walk with a limp? How does the world know and see that we are Christians? Do we wear special clothing? No. What does the world, how do they know? They know us. Jesus said in John 13:35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That is how the world around us knows that we are Christians. Now let's make this Christian love that the world sees intensely practical. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that is indeed what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, that is, to love one another more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. Christian love means that you are not lazy. It means that you work hard so that you are financially independent. Not selfishly financially dependent, not building your own kingdom, but so that you can walk properly before outsiders. Being a good witness by not depending on other people. By being able to do the honest work so that you can even have something to share with others. Ephesians 4:28. Now, brotherly love is all-encompassing. Jesus said in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Now, this is extremely important. This is extremely important. It's one of the most important verses, one of the most important things that Jesus said to us. Underline this verse, John chapter 15, verse 12. "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." How did Jesus love you? He loved you with a perfect love, a love that was self-sacrificing to put you up, a humbling love, a self-denying love. Jesus loved you with devotion and with preference. He preferred you over himself, and he died so that you could have life. Some of the brothers have talked about peace. Jesus made peace between you and God. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles, breaking down the dividing wall of hostility. And likewise, your love for one another means that you live at peace with one another. In Romans 14:9, the Bible says, "Pursue the things that make for peace and the building up of one another." Be careful, friends, that everything that you do, in the way that you do it, in the way that you express yourself, that you that on the platform in which you use to stand for what you are saying, is the appropriate place and the appropriate way for pursuing peace and for the upbuilding of the body. In last sermon, we focused on the unity that we have with one another. And loving one another means that we are like-minded according to Christ Jesus. Loving one another also means that we are straightforward and that we speak the truth with one another. We speak the truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. Loving one another means that when your Christian brother or sister asks you how it's going after the service, you don't just say, "Oh, it's going fine," if it's not going fine. How can we love one another and be sympathetic and serving one another if we are lying to one another with how things are going in our life? Loving one another means that you are accepting and not judgmental. Let us not judge one another anymore. Do not complain against one another that you yourselves may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing right at the door. The judge is standing right at the door. So do not complain or be judgmental against one another. Now, just as Jesus bought your forgiveness with his life, so you are to forgive one another and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Ephesians 4:32. Last week, we also spoke of humility at length and saw Christ's example. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in honor. Christ humbled himself in love for us, and should we consider ourselves greater than our brothers? Love means that we build one another up, that we stimulate one another to love and good deeds, that we encourage one another. When we love one another, we pray for one another. And Jesus set the example of praying for those whom he loved. And the Apostle James says, "Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed." James 5:16. Love means that we serve one another. Jesus set the example of serving one another by washing the feet of his disciples. And he said, "Wash one another's feet." We also read, through love, serve one another. And we read, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Now, love also involves hatred of evil. If we see our brother struggling in sin, we hate the sin and we seek to save our brother out of the danger. Now, we receive love constantly throughout the New Testament. We're to pursue love. All that we do should be done in love. We're begged to reaffirm our love for those who have been caught in sin. The love of Christ is to control us. Nothing counts for anything except for faith working through love. Through love, serve one another. We're to have love toward all the saints. We're supposed to be rooted and grounded in love. Speak the truth in love. The body is supposed to grow, build itself up in love. Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, and we are to walk in love. It is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints, we're to be knit together in love. And above all these things, we're to put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. We are to abound in love for one another and for all. So I hope that you can see that the labor of love that we are to have for one another affects everything. Loving, serving, praying, forgiving, accepting, maintaining unity, showing affection. Everything that we do is to be a labor of love for one another. Now this brings me to the second point, and that is that the law of love is the law of Christ. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. So, to those under the law, I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ. And now, as you read this verse, you have to ask yourself, since I, like Paul, am no longer under the Mosaic covenant law, but rather under the law of Christ, what is this law of Christ? You have to ask yourself this question when you read this verse. And John reminded us that our children should, John reminded us that our children should know the Ten Commandments. And I heartily agree, our children should know the Ten Commandments. John also mentioned that most people couldn't define the law of Christ. And after today, I hope that the law of Christ is burned into your memory and that you will teach it to your children. The law of Christ is the law of love. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. Jesus said, the greatest commandment of the law is, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Paul said that love is the fulfilling of the law. We will see that the law of Christ is the law of love in three ways this morning. First, the law of love is the new commandment of the new covenant. We saw that the labor of love in the first part of the sermon, how it is all-encompassing. And at the Last Supper, Jesus said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. John 13:34. And John said in his first epistle, and this is his commandment, that we love, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he has loved us. But someone might say, love was already part of the Mosaic covenant. After all, Leviticus 19:18 says, love your neighbor as yourself. What does Jesus mean by saying this is a new commandment? There are two ways that this is a new commandment. 1A, it is clear and brighter. It is a complete revelation of what was previously in the shadows. Jesus said, "As I have loved you, so you are to love one another." Christ's law of love is a full revelation. The perfect law of Christ is our example and standard. Look at the law of love of Christ. He humbled himself. He took on the limitations and weaknesses of human form because of his love for his own. When you were weak and had no hope, he laid down his life to give you eternal life. How can you be cold and lifeless and unloving when you see his love for you in Christ, when you see the love of Christ as his blood poured out for you? Now let me try to illustrate this with a very imperfect example. Before you were married, you were to love those around you. But then, when you came into the covenantal marriage relationship with you and your husband, or you and your wife, you were bound with an even greater love for your husband or for your wife. You made a new promise to love to a higher standard than before. And when you enter the new covenant as a believer, you come under the new commandment to love all those in the new covenant to the same standard as Christ loved you. Which is a higher and clearer and brighter standard in your marriage? Is it do not commit adultery? Or is it husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, cleansing, washing, nourishing, cherishing, loving her as he would his own body? Which is a higher standard? It's also new, not only because it's a higher standard, but it is because it is the new covenant given at the inauguration. The new commandment given at the inauguration of the new covenant. Remember on Mount Sinai, God came down to meet his prophet Moses. There was dark, there was thunder, there was lightning, there was fire, there was smoke, there was earthquakes and the sound of a trumpet that grew louder and louder. And Moses trembled and the people begged that they would not be in God's presence. The old covenant was inaugurated with a covenant meal. It was inaugurated with the blood of the covenant and with the 10 old covenant commandments and the book of the law. And these pointed towards and are contrasted with the new covenant. Jesus gave the single new commandment of the new covenant in the quiet and intimate setting of the upper room while eating the covenant meal in the inauguration of the new covenant in his blood. Now, the second way that we see that the love of Christ is the love, sorry, that the law of Christ is the law of love, is that the greatest commandments are Christ's commandments, and they are to love. Now, I thought about how to illustrate this, the answer to this question, and I was reminded of how my parents and my brothers and I, about 20 years ago, built a big timber frame house, and that we had big posts. So picture a big post and beam structure. There's massive posts. Massive beams. There's huge joints. And at the joints, there are these big 1-inch or even 2-inch diameter pegs that are used to hold these joints together. And there's large angle braces to keep the whole thing from going down like that. There's many posts, many beams, many angle braces. It's sturdy. It's solid. It's designed to handle any kind of wind that might blow on the side, on the walls of that building. The barn is built on the rock with a firm foundation. It will not fall no matter what kind of wind blows. The structure is sound. Inside of the barn, there's maybe a hay elevator. You've got cows producing milk. You've got chickens producing eggs. You've got pigs producing pork, sheep, lambs. You've got grain. You've got all the food that you need for these animals. A society can be built inside of this barn. Or you can think of it as a modern structure that's used as a shop. And instead of a hay elevator, you've got a remotely controlled crane that picks up large loads and moves them around. You have multiple workers working in different areas. An entire community of employees can work inside of this structure. Now imagine with me that there are 10 main central posts to hold up this structure. That the entire structure relies for support. How do we make this illustration work when it comes to love and when it comes to law? Would it be proper to say that the 10 commandments are the 10 main posts that hold up this structure? And the 613 commandments in the Torah plus all the commandments in the New Testament are the rest of the posts and the beams and the angle braces in which an entire community can be built. And then maybe you walk in and you see a banner that says the entire law can be summarized in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or maybe you walk up and you see a big sign on the outside and it says the entire structure can be summarized in love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Would this be a good way to summarize or to understand how love works? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. Verse 35. Matthew chapter 22, verse 35. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And he quoted these. The first one was from Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, and the second one was Leviticus 19, 18. But Jesus didn't stop there. Look at Matthew 22, verse 40. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. This is very important. I want you to catch this and remember this. Underline this in your Bible. On these two commandments depend all the law and all the prophets. They're not just summarized by these two commandments. All of them depend on, they hang on these two commandments. So the proper illustration does not have love hanging as a summary on the structure of the law. The proper illustration has two main posts. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And these are connected together. And all of the law, all of the 613 commandments, the 10 commandments, everything in the New Testament depends on these two, hangs on these two commandments. If this so goes against what you have been taught, don't be upset with me. I'm only the messenger. I am reading scripture. I am preaching what the scripture says. I am fallible. But this is God's infallible word. What he says are the two greatest commandments. It's not my idea. Now you can build from most of the right doctrinal posts and beams. You might be building on the Ten Commandments and all of the Mosaic Law, and you might add all of the commands of the New Testament, and it might look like you have a strong structure, and it might look like it is on the right foundation. But it will come crashing down if it is not built on and dependent upon and supported by the great commandments to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Now, the third way that we see that the law of Christ is a law of love is that love fulfills the law. Paul wrote to the Romans, "The one who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Now, is the apostle teaching us that love is the motivation, the motivating emotion to look at the Mosaic law and to figure out how to love? Or does he teach that love is the fulfilling of the law? Friends, love is the essence of the law, and all of the law is automatically kept if one keeps the great commandments to love. No wonder that the New Testament is full of commandments and instructions to love. Now, love is not just one of the commandments. Love is the commandment given in the New Testament. Love is man's supreme duty. And the man or the woman or the child who is loving will be fulfilling the law. Charles Leiter wrote that law in its essence is nothing more than the obligation to love. And love, acting according to its own nature in the created order where God has placed it, is the fulfillment of the law. Now, does that mean that we can say, all you need is love? We don't need to read about anything else. We don't need to look at anything else in the Bible. No, we still need the Bible. We need instructions. Jesus and the apostles gave many specific instructions and commands, and they referenced commands from the Old Covenant, often enhancing them. In fact, keeping the commandments is part of loving Jesus. He said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. He who does not love me does not keep my words." John 14:15, 14:21, 23-24. And Jesus commissioned his disciples to make disciples and baptize them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Love is not something that you make up in your own imagination. You know love by knowing who Christ is, what he did to love you, and the whole example that he set for us, and all that he commanded us, and the entire word of God. Now I want to ask you, where should your focus be? Which commandments does Jesus tell us to keep? Does he say, if you love me, you will keep the Ten Commandments? Is that what he said? No. He said, if you love me, you will keep all that I have commanded you. Does that mean that you will be keeping the Ten Commandments? Yes, you will be keeping the Ten Commandments if you love Jesus. But he provides a much clearer and higher standard, and you'll be doing much more than that. Listen to what Sarah Edwards said. She said, "I was entirely swallowed up in God as my only portion, and his honor and glory was the object of my supreme desire and delight. At the same time, I felt a far greater love to the children of God than ever before. I seemed to love them as my own soul, and when I saw them, my heart went out towards them with an inexpressible and dearness and sweetness." Now I ask you, my friends, which laws would Sarah Edwards be going against? Which laws would Sarah Edwards be breaking against her brothers and sisters when she loved them like this? None. Such love will automatically fulfill every law. The Apostle James spoke of fulfilling the law when he said in James 2 verse 8, "If you really fulfill the royal law according to Scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors." If you are showing favoritism or being unloving based on what someone is wearing, based on their beliefs, or based on if you are like them, then you are convicted by the law as a transgressor. If you have shown partiality this past week, you need to repent and be forgiven. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 13. For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, porn. That's a work of the flesh. Impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife. Our brother Lawrence was talking about the problem of strife. Jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions. And as our brother Lawrence mentioned, hard questions don't cause divisions. Sin causes divisions. Envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Brothers and sisters, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. If you have the fruit of the Spirit, you will be loving your brothers and sisters. Now we've seen that love is the new commandment of the new covenant, that the two greatest commandments are love, and that love fulfills the law. Now, the goal of the apostles' instruction is also love. In fact, in a passage where Paul describes the usefulness and the application of the law, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, at the same time he says that the goal of his instruction is love, from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. 1 Timothy 1 verse 5. And he warns in this passage that if a person's goal is no longer this love, he has swerved aside and wandered into vanity, desiring to be a teacher of the law without understanding the very thing he is making confident assertions about. Now, love is prominent. We've seen that love is prominent in the New Testament. Love is more than just the motivation to look into the law and do what it says. Love is the essence of the law. This is why love and the application of love through our lives is the emphasis in the teaching of Jesus and the apostles in the new covenant. This is why Peter gives such a prominent position to love in this list of characteristics, and why later in chapter 4, verse 8, he says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly. Now this brings us to the source of our brotherly love. When you became a Christian, what happened? God's love was poured into your heart through the Holy Spirit who was given to you. Romans 5, verse 5. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. According to the Apostle John, God is love, and love comes from God. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 9, Paul says, now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. So love comes from God, who is love, and who teaches us brotherly love. So love is from God. Love is manifested and extended to us in Jesus' death on the cross. Flip back a page or so, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. So love is from God. We see love in Christ and his death on our behalf. Now God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit is working in your life, God will be working love in your life. From John chapter 15, we know that to grow in love, we need to be connected to Christ. He is the vine. You are the branches. If you abide in him and he in you, you will bear much fruit. By keeping Christ's commandments and abiding in his love, by reading his word and having his word abide in you, then by his Spirit you will keep his commandment to love one another as he loves you. The Christian life is a labor of love in fulfillment of the love of Christ. It is accomplished as Christ works through us by the power of his Spirit perfecting all that is lacking in our own love. The love of Christ is the love. The law of Christ is the law of love. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Brotherly love, according to Jesus, is love one another as I have loved you. And such love fulfills all the law. And now because of his great love for you, by which he has loved your life and rescued you from all the sin and death that you were previously hell-bent on doing, because his great love, which he has given you all things besides and every spiritual blessing, you too go and live a life of love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. Love one another as he loved you. Do you not feel that love for one another? Ask him. Will not your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He will. Ask his Spirit to indwell you and to control you so that you might have the fruit of the Spirit, so that his love would spring up out of you in all humility, in like-mindedness, in tenderness, in sympathy, that you might love your Christian brothers and sisters just as Christ loved you. Too often we are self-centered. I know it. Too often we are proud. Too often we are unkind to our brothers and sisters. Watch out. Do not judge one another, beloved. For behold, the judge is standing right at the door. Arise from this place. Strive in your love for one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing love for one another. May the earnest longings of your soul be for the continued growth, not of rule-keeping, but of the fruit of the Spirit, and especially love. And now remain these three: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. Amen.